We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Happy Sunday night, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. I am Scott Jensted, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. If you could please rate or review the podcast, does go a long way towards helping us out. If you've been listening to us all year, have enjoyed us, hopefully gotten some good information from us over these last, we've done this like 7 months now. Please leave a number of stars, a nice comment, does go a long way towards helping us out. Jeff, we got a full 4 weeks left in the baseball season. If you're going to go in your league, it's time to go now.
Yeah, that's right. It's past time even. I mean, you should have already been looking at, you know, what categories you need to max out in. It might be too late, but keep grinding, keep trying. But every move you make should be thinking, where am I going to gain this next point if you're in a categorical league?
The one main event where I'm kind of on the outskirts of competing, I pretty much mapped it out today, like how many points I can gain, where I can gain them, where that gets me, you know, what my actual upside is. And there's enough there that it's definitely worth grinding hard. So it's a good dose of reality to see if you can actually make a run or not. One of my main events, I really can't make a run. I'm still playing, but today was the first day I really kind of focused my time and energy. I have a lot of time to do fab, but I focused my fab on the teams that can really make a move.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I did the same. Every Sunday, it seems like my main event team that's very competitive loses 5 points. The last 2 weeks, it's really kind of crazy.
Are you throwing a lot of bad starters and they all blow up on Sunday?
I mean, all pitchers are bad right now. Don't you know that?
That's true. Unless your name is Robbie Ray or Garrett Cole, like it's just rough going. Robbie Ray is just insane.
Yeah, it's tough. We actually only lost 2.5 points, but then Zimmerman and Tanner Bell gained 5. So it was just the double whammy. Corey Kluber, he's got the strikeouts. Great. I look up, they got out of that fourth inning. Great. Now they've got the lead. Oh, wait, he didn't get out of the fourth inning?
Yeah.
What? I was doing the football show today on SiriusXM, and so I missed the pitching change. Like, oh, come on. Nice two-stepper this week, Corey. At least I only spent a huge chunk of fab change not even huge, but big enough at this time of year.
Did you hang on to him or you drop him back?
Held on to him just because. I have plenty of other cuts. Yeah. I had the blocked one, so I was able to cut him as in the one that blocks you.
Yes, he is the one who blocks. I knew who that was. He had a couple of good starts, and everybody picked him up, and he exploded, and went on the IL. So that's prime Brett Anderson right there. Reel you in, then get blown up, then find a way to get hurt, and we'll call it a day. We'll see you in 2022, Brett.
Right.
Well, I won't see you, but everybody else will see him.
I won't either. Josh Fleming, I dropped. I lost Nimmo.
I just got that one.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. Well, it was literal and a joke. So those are the best.
Kind of a good point. Like, unless you have a star player that's out just 10 days, I think almost everybody that goes in the IL right now is a cut for me.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, there's a few elites and a few guys maybe he just taking a start off or something like that. A few outliers that I would keep. But for the most part, if someone goes in the IL now, they're out a couple weeks. We're talking 50% of the season left. It's got to be a real extreme case for me not just to cut the person.
Yeah, keep Giolito, cut Nimmo. That's the range right there. I'm probably going to activate him. But
did you keep Jack Flaherty?
No, I cut him a week ago.
That's good. I cut him this week too.
Well, and he was a subject of bidding in that league where I cut him. Like, and you know, you're going to get like one start probably if it's a start even.
It's going to be like three innings, right? Like I just, I looked at it too and they're like, it sounded like he's going to begin a throwing program this week. Like that means he's at least 2 or 3 weeks off pitching in a major league game, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And given how long the last rehab took and look how bad it looked when he walked off the mound. Yeah, yeah, I was cutting it. But you know what? Hey, you know, looking at the quality of the pitchers that we're bidding on the waiver wire, when one of the most sought after pitchers this week among starting pitchers has a 9 ERA, I mean, that shows you like the quality of guys that we have to go after this week. So
was that Jackson Coar?
It is. Okay. It is.
I was trying to do the math of who the heck could do that, and I realized that his first four, three starts were so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and week 20.
So eager to go for him.
Yeah. It's anybody with a pulse right now, and you know, anybody with any kind of prospect pedigree is pretty interesting. But revolting weekend of baseball here, Jeff. That Friday night loss by the A's was probably the worst loss I can remember in recent history for them. They were up 8-2 in the eighth, lost the lead, give up a grand slam in the eighth, then get it back in the ninth, and then Marcus Semien with the absolute dagger to the entire Oakland A's front office in the bottom of the ninth, like just kills their season, kills them for not signing him, kills them for the utterly insulting offer he gave them. It was just kind of all around, and I obviously didn't want them to lose, but if someone was going to do it, I was kind of glad it was Semien rather than Vlad or Bichette, just because, I don't know, the A's front office deserved that one, and it was a really huge loss, too.
Yeah, that's right, and to be honest, too, I mean, and for all the shenanigans about, like, dabbling with Las Vegas and all that, and the way they've handled things there, too, I mean, they have it coming. Let's it's not the front office, it's the ownership group. Let's get that clear, too.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'll give it to both of them. I give it to, you're right, the ownership of the money is them. But, like, I just, it's so bad. And the last 2.5 weeks of A's baseball has just been grueling bad. It's not just losing. Like, they've lost so many games late. The bullpen has just given up a ton of runs. Lou Trevino went from pitching really well to literally not being able to get it out. It's wild. I mean, even they bring him in, they brought him in 8-2, and they had to take him out. And then, you know, Petit gives up the grand slam to Lourdes Gurriel. But, I mean, they can't even get a get-me-right inning in there for Trevino. I don't know if they'll just have to IL him or just not pitch him. I guess they have an extra 2 roster spots, but it's bad. They're behind Seattle now. I just, the path to them making the playoffs now is really tough.
Yeah. I cut him in my 12 in the case of Lou Trevino. I cut him.
Yeah.
It's funny. They almost pulled it back to Toronto on Saturday though.
Yeah. Toronto's pen is no gem either.
No. Yeah. Well, I think everybody's on fumes right now. There are very few teams that like, oh, yeah, we're well stocked. We're good. Everyone's rested. We're feeling strong. No, we're on fumes right now, and some teams are more on fumes than others.
Yeah, I mean, these teams are going to have to pick it up. I mean, we had a huge Dodgers-Giants series this weekend. The Giants won. They got 2 out of 3, and that first game went either 11 or 12 innings. That was a really fun series.
Yeah, as always, it seems like. Yeah. It's like it's Dodgers, Giants, Padres. We haven't seen that in a long time, actually, because they were front loaded on that schedule. And then, you know, obviously Dodgers, Padres have been great diet, you know, and we got another one of those coming up this week. So that should be fun. You know, everybody else should be fun too.
Yeah. It's I really hope that whoever does not win the NL West wins that one game playoff and we get NLDS first round. We get Giants, Dodgers. That would be a really fun 5 game because they would have to play each other, right? Best record against the wild card, right?
Yeah, frankly, I'm rooting for Reds and Giants.
Dodgers.
True. But
if it can't be,
it's not happening though.
If it can't be our Reds, I would love a LA San Francisco series. I think it would be super intense the whole way through.
I would too. I agree with that. But and our Reds, we're just losing series like it's going out of style. You lose 2 or 3 out of. I know Detroit's not a pushover, but they're also not the Dodgers. Right. Lose 2 out of 3 the at home to the Tigers Friday night, just get obliterated. Yeah. Just Gutierrez is really starting to fall off a little bit there, hitting a wall. And you know, the Reds had no run support for Cueto and I mean for Castillo. God, I said, you know, that's a nice slip there. And you know, he had one bad inning, and that's all it took. Yeah. That you lost 2 of 3 to the Marlins last weekend, 2 of 3 to the Cardinals. Ugh.
Those are just series you look back on in a month and be like, if we just win the series we're supposed to win, we're probably in the playoffs. And now they're a half game behind the Padres, who maybe are starting to turn a corner a little bit. They played pretty well this weekend against Houston.
Yep.
So
that's right.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they had their chance to really, really put their foot on the Padres, and maybe they blew that these last like 10 days.
Yeah. Although, I mean, the thing is, I mean, they did, their foot was on it, and it's tough to maintain. I think that's one of the things, like, you learn about a baseball schedule. It's a long haul, but, you know, they had earlier stretches too, where the defense was, I mean, the relief pitching was just hideous. And, you know, just undermanned for that matter too. I mean, just, you look at the names that they used over the course of the season, not really a surprise. And losing TJ Antone for the rest of the year, that sucked.
But, you know, half game out with a month left, I think you probably would have taken that at the start of the season. So a lot can happen still, and
true.
Should be fun. Let's look ahead at week, I think it's week 24 we got now. We got a lot of games this week. We got two teams with yes. 8 games. We have the Blue Jays and the Orioles. The Orioles' schedule is sweet. They're home at 8 games for Camden Yards, facing the Royals and I think the Rays, or maybe it's the Jays. I forget who it is, but they have a really good setup there. It is Toronto. I think they faced Robbie Ray and kind of everybody else.
It was a Ray. It was the Rays in a way, but
I knew there was a Ray in there somewhere.
The Rays are 18-1 against the Orioles. They don't need any more of that.
That's thoroughly insane. But Baltimore with 8 games at home, 4 against Kansas City pitching. That's a really good setup. If you any kind of fringy Orioles, I was looking at this week, and the Blue Jays with 8, but everybody kind of has rostered almost all the Blue Jays anyway. But they should score a lot of runs this week too. We got. A lot of teams with 7 games, the Rockies, Dodgers, Nationals, Cardinals, Phillies, and Mets in the NL, and the Royals, Yankees, Twins, and the Cleveland baseball team in the AL. So we got a lot of games, Jeff. If you need to make up some ground, this might be a good week for you because there is a lot of games this week.
Yeah. And the other thing I kind of like looking at Baltimore's schedule is they face 5 lefties. They pound lefties.
Yeah.
I don't know about pound, but they're better against lefties. That's Bubich, Minor, Robbie Ray is a tough draw. Ryu could be tough, and Mats has pitched well his last 2 times out. The righties they face are Thomas Hatch, Carlos Hernandez, sneaky good pitcher, and Jackson Coar, who we've been talking about a little bit.
Yeah, so if you have a the Mount Castle, Austin Hayes, kind of those fringy guys from 12s. I mean, Mount Castle is probably rostered everywhere, but those are the kind of guys. If you play in a daily league, I'd look to grab a bunch of those guys too. The Orioles should score a lot of runs. And obviously, a note: tomorrow is a holiday, so there are 5 games to start before 10:30 on the Pacific time zone. There's 2 more at 11, then there's a couple at 1 o'clock. Like, you better work on your lineups tonight or early tomorrow morning, especially on the West Coast, because there's a lot of games that are going to be getting going before you really figure it out to kind of get going in the morning.
Yeah, that's right. If you are on the West Coast and you're trying to set your lineups while hosting a national Sirius XM satellite radio show, probably is not going to work out very well. Do it beforehand. Yeah.
You may need to prep and plan for that tomorrow with all the day games. It should be a fun day of baseball watching, though. There's a lot of games. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. We have Rays Red Sox at 10 a.m. too. That's going to be a really fun series. If the Red Sox can figure out a way to get enough guys out there, they got a lot of COVID stuff on right now.
Yeah, they just lost Pivetta was the latest that they lost. So it's tough. But you look at their guys. They have an off day Wednesday, so they can kind of get by this week starting pitching wise. Sale, Erod, Eovaldi, Houck. I like all those guys. They're able to pivot okay, it seems like.
We also have Blue Jays Yankees that's starting tomorrow morning too. That's a huge series for the Jays who swept the A's this week, kind of got back into it. I think they're 2 or 3 games behind Boston in the loss column. This is a huge series against the Yankees. If they can continue playing well, they can get right back in the mix, or the Yankees beat them and they kind of go back. They need to stay hot, but they've definitely put themselves back in the race here.
Yeah, and they can thank the Orioles a little bit, taking 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, including the win today. That was pretty big. The Yankees, they had that 13-game win streak. Our A's did 2 of 3 against them there. Yep. They struggled a little bit in Anaheim as well.
I think they've lost 6 of 8 since that run. And like you were saying before, that's kind of baseball. It's not like basketball or football where, the better team can roll and you get some teams you can really get hot and stay hot in baseball. It's tough to stay that hot that long. But we do have a couple of teams with 5 games, both in the NL West. We have the Diamondbacks and Padres with 5 games. So, usually the 5 games, you're like, oh, I'm playing that versus a 6-game guy. But when you have so many teams with 7 and a couple teams with 8, those 5 really stick out. It's tough to play this week if you have Diamondbacks and Padres.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, that the tough part is, and that's the thing. You really want to look and see, like, okay, I those Padres, trying to get those bats that are playing, like, in the outfield. I cut Tommy Pham in a league, actually, in a 12, because he's not playing every day. They have 5 games this week. In fact, I think he's only started once or twice in the last week because they have Tatis in the outfield.
Yeah, that's right. It's this time of year where if guys are not playing, I'm looking at their – he pinch hit in the line in five of the last six games. So you're right. It's just and last time he started before that, it was at Anaheim, so they had a DH there, so an extra spot. But you're right, he played this whole week. He started one game. He started, looks like, yesterday against the Astros, and he actually hit fourth. It's pretty wild that he happened to hit cleanup. But I guess he pinch hit again today. So you're right, that's five out of six.
Yeah. So he's in a tough spot. And that's the thing. It's easy to lose track of that. We're doing our fantasy football drafts. You just look at a guy's stat line. Okay, he's not great, but he's fine.
No, yeah, you look at that, fine. You look at 13 home runs, 13 stolen bases. I can't cut that. Then you realize he started once this week, and you just can't use that. You either end up sitting him the whole time, or you're taking zeros, and neither is optimal.
Yep, that's right.
And hitting 235, it's not like he's helping you out there. That's an interesting one. I don't have him anywhere, so I hadn't really noticed. I knew he was losing it with Tatis in the outfield, but I noticed it was quite that extreme. We talked about the Orioles' good schedule. The Royals have a pretty good schedule, too. They have seven games against the Orioles and Twins pitching. That's a lineup that I want some pieces of this week, too. We have a lot of AL games in NL parks. I don't know if anybody really stick out as like hurting a DH. The Tigers are in Pittsburgh the first half of the week. The Angels are at San Diego. The Yankees are in the Mets play over the weekend. That should be a fun series Friday through Sunday. So maybe some Giancarlo Stanton, maybe sits one or two of those games. So he might be an interesting thought this weekend too. And the Luke Voit at bats might be tough to find this week too, as they kind of move guys around.
They've been tough to find lately. Period.
They have, which is wild. When Rizzo was out, Voit was crushing it too. Like he was on fire and came back, and they've sat Rizzo a couple times trying to find spots, but they just don't really have. Depth is a good problem to have, but it's hard for those guys to get playing.
Well, when you don't have a DH slot, Stanton can't. They said that Stanton's going to play the outfield, but they didn't really play him in the outfield that much. And
he played one game there against Oakland and just butchered a ball to right field. Looked. And it's hard. Like he had a really good, nice diving play today. So I will say that he had a really nice diving catch. But when you play out there, a few times a month or whatever it is, it's hard to get used to it. It's not just easy to roll out there and play the outfield in majors.
What do you do if you have Ohtani? By the way.
That's a good call, because they're at the Padres Tuesday, Wednesday. I think I play him because I think they play tomorrow.
They do against Texas.
And I figure he plays at least one of those games in San Diego. So I don't think I'm sitting. Ohtani's so good.
Well, he pitches on Wednesday against him. So you're assuming he's playing that game.
Yeah. So I think he'll start at least two offensive-wise. I think that's enough that I play him. He's just – guy's got 40-plus home runs and 20-plus steals. It would have to be a really scant week for me to sit him. I think I'm playing him.
Yeah, I think I would too.
The Mariners head to Colorado the first half of the week, Monday through Wednesday. So one less spot there for them. And then the Rangers are at Arizona Tuesday and Wednesday. So one less spot there. If you picked up a DJ Peters or someone in there, maybe everybody gets a game off for a couple days there in Arizona. But should be a fun week. We got a lot of good series. That New York series should be interesting, as they always are this weekend. Not quite Giants Dodgers, but a fun one nonetheless. So. Anything else? Any other preview for week 24 before we get into Fab that you got?
No, let's just jump into it.
Beautiful. Before we do that, a note from our exclusive sponsor, WinBet. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you from RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino, take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in six states: Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, all while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WynnBet. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. And now also a note from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
So, Jeff, you mentioned Fab this week with a pitcher with a 9 ERA, but I'm not going to start with Jackson Carr. I'm going to start with Joe Ryan in Minnesota, who, as I looked deeper, I found myself a lot more interested in him than I thought I would be at the start of the day.
Sure.
He was acquired in the Nelson Cruz trade. I thought it was cool that when they played each other, Nelson Cruz wanted a picture with him. I thought that was pretty cool. Then again, I think most things Nelson Cruz does is cool. 57 innings in AAA with the Rays organization. An ERA just under 3.4. 35% strikeout rate and a walk rate under 5. Like, these are really good K to walk numbers. He was elite in high A in 2019 in 182 innings. His first start was good. 5 innings, 300 runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks. I'd say good, not great against the Cubs. But you look at the strikeout profile, look at the fact that he does not walk many guys. We see a lot of young guys that come up and they strike out a lot of guys, but they walk a ton of guys too. We see that with a lot of pitchers
right.
We talk about. He feels like a guy to me that, you know, he has the skills. You never know. Pitching the majors is hard, but it seems like to me like he could maybe kind of roll in this month and have some pretty good results.
Yeah. You just worry about the bullpen not holding up or that, you know, him going short in games. Those are the two drags against him there. It's been a wonderful season for him. He got the exposure in the Olympics. That was cool.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He got the loss against the Cubs on Friday in his debut, but it's 5-1 K to walk. You like that.
Yeah.
Gave up the one homer. The funny thing is he had only allowed one homer. Well, it was only two starts at
Was it to Frank Schwindel? Cause that doesn't count. Cause he homers off everybody.
Oh my goodness.
I know you were driving. I think you're driving back from Vegas today for the football draft, but did you see his home run today?
I didn't see it today. I was driving back last night, but I had the radio show and then I had soccer. So
literally
I missed that.
Off his foot, kind of fooled out in front of it. And it still went out. It was like, he hit it, and I was like, oh, that's a routine fly ball, and went out. I was like, I don't know. Between you and me and nobody else, I think that the baseball swapped in some balls at maybe at the All-Star break.
You're not the first person that's brought that up to me. My good buddy Mark McKeon, I went to college with him, used to live with him. He is a White Sox fan. He, like, texted me a video of a Brian Goodwin homer that was literally a pop-up to left field and just kept carrying. I think that they were doing all this stuff. Hey, look at the grip enhancement. Look at that. Oh, here. Right. Let's slide in the ball, too, while we're at it.
A little sleight of hand. And, you know, but I just – Schwindel's home run today. I mean, he's been on fire, so I'm not taking anything from him. But, like, he was fooled in his front foot, and he's not Giancarlo Stanton. Like, he's strong, but I just – when you get it, watch the highlight later and see if I'm crazy. But it seems like there's no way that's a home run swing.
The whole series, the ball was flying out.
It really was. Yeah, the ball was – I mean, I think Jason Hayward hit one. And I was like, we know something's going with the ball if Hayward goes yard.
Yep.
But I do like Ryan. I found him the most interesting pitcher of the group. He faces at Cleveland this week. The next week he's going to – looks like he maybe gets Cleveland again. Cleveland's got a couple hitters in there, but not a lineup that I'm scared of facing. I don't know. Of all the guys who are out there, we'll talk about Jackson Coy in a second. I think Ryan was my top bid in every league.
He was on my list. He wasn't always my top, but he was like always second or third. I went I prioritized Luke Weaver actually in one league and – yeah, that should work well, but we'll find out.
I had Weaver second on my list behind Ryan, and I kind of felt like Weaver was the, you know, safe guy, going to throw more innings, and maybe he'll be fine, whereas Ryan could explode, but also could be really, really good, and I kind of went with the upside. It kind of depends on how your team is, what your team needs, really. If you need some innings and wins, it's probably Weaver. If you need some upside and really shoot for it, it's probably Ryan to me, but It's interesting. It should be. He should be fun to watch. You know, we'll see what the Twins have. Hopefully, they get something for the Nelson Cruz trade there. But since we're talking young guys, before we get to Weaver, let's jump into Jackson Coar. Got called up earlier and is one of those pitchers in kind of midsummer that we had a number of guys. His teammate Daniel Lynch was the same that just got blown up in their debuts. He was really really bad in his first call up. He got called up this week. It was kind of surprising. It was kind of a we didn't know it was coming. Pitched really well against Cleveland, 6 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs. Did go a couple runs there, both unearned. 3 walks is a little bit of a problem, and then 6 strikeouts. He was good in AAA, 3.4 ERA in 80 innings, 34% K rate, 10.1% walk rate. So it's a little bit elevated there. Mm-hmm. But he is a guy with prospect pedigree. We're excited about him getting called the first time. And maybe it's one of those guys that, you know, gets called up, struggles, and comes back up, and hopefully you have some more success.
Yeah. I mean, just you need more time, more repetitions, more, you know. And the batters that he was facing in AAA are getting better. And I think that's important too. You know, I think some of the top prospects, and this is something that Jeff Zimmerman espoused when he was on our pod. By the way, read Jeff Zimmerman on RotoWire every week now too. It's awesome.
That's a good score, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah,
Jeff's really good.
He is. He's fantastic, but he could be a little less fantastic.
Is he writing a certain column, or is he just
it's basically his observations going into the weekend, and it's a little NFBC centric, which obviously appeals to you and I. He's had a couple articles up now. He debuted a couple weeks ago, and it's really good. But he espoused the notion that the top prospects are playing against guys that were off last year. There were a few at the alternate training sites, but that's still not the same competition level as actually just playing in the minors on a regular basis. So sure, they dominate at that level, but then who are they facing? They're facing guys that aren't up to speed, especially if they're down in Double A. And a lot of like the replacement level AAA guys are actually really tough outs. You know, the Frank Schwindels of the world, who didn't get a chance to play last year. They're getting up to speed. All of a sudden, okay, now this level of competition matters a little bit more. Whereas in April and May, it didn't.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point too. I think we're getting better prospects in AAA than normally do too, just based on the COVID rules where it's harder to call guys up from AA where they have the pipeline from AAA, you can call them up right away. You see a lot of the guys that used to like play in AA and they called up straight from there. Those guys are all going to AAA. Now you saw it with Wander Franco, you've seen it with Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah. Those guys might have just come straight from AA in the past and they had to take that extra step. Crazy that we're in September and Bobby Witt Jr. never got called up, by the way.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
That big L right here for saying that the Royals would be more likely to call him up sooner rather than later.
His main event percentage never really dropped that low, which means there's a lot of teams that held him for 5.5 months and never dropped him.
Yep, that's for sure. Yeah,
I think you got to the point where once he got hot, you were scared to drop him because you don't want to be the person that drops him in June and gets called the next week. And I mean, the fact that Mondesi sat almost the whole year he never got called up is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is really crazy.
Honestly, with 2 more steals today, he's gonna do his September magic again, isn't he?
Yeah. Was he available in any of your 12s?
He was. I did a fun. I teamed up with a couple guys. Did a fun like in the Memorial Day second chance draft.
Yeah,
and he was available there last week, and we bid on him, and that got outbid, and we needed steals. Do we? We really should just gone completely put all our money in on him, and we might have won that league. Now we just need steals to win it. We got outbid and it was a mistake, but yeah, that was the only spot he was available in mine.
I picked him up in a 12, 40 to 33.
Oh, that's good bidding right there.
I had like 47 left too. It was really tight, but you know,
home runs and like 5 steals or something already. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That if you need steals, I mean, that's a guy that could steal. We always talk about he could steal 4 or 5 down the stretch. Like that's a guy that can steal 10 to 12 down the stretch.
Gets Orioles and Twins this week, dude. I mean, it's.
I know the Royals schedule's nice. It's that's going to work well.
Yeah, but you know, they'll probably bench him to play Hunter Dozier or, you know, he's too young. But bench him for somebody else.
I guess we can't really do the Nicky Lopez thing anymore because Nicky Lopez is actually playing pretty well.
Okay. They're gonna find a way for Edward Olivares to play third base just to spite Alberto Mondesi, just to toy with us.
That'd be pretty funny if they did that. I'd be all for that. But yeah, the Hunter Dozier thing is crazy because he's not. We're talking Nicky Lopez playing pretty well. Hunter Dozier is not. So
no.
You mentioned Luke Weaver earlier. This is a guy that really good in 2019. An ERA just under 3. An ERA just over 6.5 last year. 4.11 this year. Just kind of split the difference between the two extremes. A guy that's not going to get a lot of strikeouts. He's about a 22% strikeout rate guy, 7% walks, Pitched well this week, though. He had six innings, one earned run, only three strikeouts, but no walks. Kind of what you're hoping for. You're hoping for getting through five or six, not, you know, giving up the two runs, maybe three, getting a few strikeouts, don't walk anybody, keep the whip down. A lot of hard contact so far. Like his calling card in 2017, 2018, 2019 was the kind of the lack of hard contact. It is up a little bit. Barrel rate's like over 9%, hard hit rate's in the 40s through the last 2 years. But I think he's one of those guys you kind of hope that you're going to get a hot streak from and go from there.
That's right. And honestly, I'm using him for this week, home start against Texas. I'm not using him next week at the Dodgers.
No.
Yeah. And I'm even dreading what, you know, using him. It's just, I'm just trying to find anything.
Although your whip goes down when you get to face Cody Bellinger for four easy outs though.
Yeah. No Pollock anymore either. So, you know, they're kind of forced to use Bellinger a lot more.
Is this Cody Bellinger season one of the more wild, like completely fall off the place of the earth, be terrible seasons? You remember?
It's high on the list.
It has to be, right? Like every time you look up, you're like, oh, I'm sure Bellinger's he's gotten hot at over 200. He's like at 170. Like it's an insane number. It's a guy that hit, what he hit, 305 with 47 home runs 2 years ago. He's at 167 after tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough watch. I never thought he'd be this bad. I mean, I stayed away from him, but mostly because of the shoulder. I think my projections had him below ADP on a pretty good, nowhere close to ADP actually.
What was his ADP? Like 18 or 19, right? Somewhere in there.
Yeah. And maybe it slipped to the end of the second as the later we got in draft season, but then the I was first, in like 45.
First two rounds still, right? Yeah.
But I never thought I was anywhere close to this. I mean, no, this isn't victory. This is just, my God, what happened to him? I just don't think he's right. I just think all the parts are, you know, he needs like just a full off season. I think I'd buy the dip next year, to be honest.
How far does the dip have to dip?
Seventh or eighth round in a 15 team.
If you had to guess, what's his main event?
Around 100. Around pick 100.
I don't think he gets that far.
Yeah, for when idiots like me are saying buy the dip, that just pushes it up a little bit there.
But maybe, I mean, this is back to back. It's not like it's 1 year. These are back to back. I mean, last year was really short, but still back to back. Really bad years where A, he's had a lot of injury issues. B, when he's played, he's been bad. I mean, 167, like that's, and you've probably played him for all 300 of those plate appearances. You probably did. Maybe people sitting him now, but at least the first 250 of those you probably got and you have. I mean, that when you're that low, that just kills the batting average for your fantasy team.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And, you know, it reminds me of Javi Baez's 2 months last year and just how bad he was. But this is a full season.
It's wild. I was trying to think of it. It was one of the ones that stuck out to me as one of the really, really bad, like out of nowhere, horrendous season. And at least, you guess with Baez. Baez had 8 home runs last year and Bellinger has 9. That's a pretty good comp, except Baez had about 40 points higher.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I think Lee Weaver kind of falls into that, throw him for a good matchup at home or in a good matchup if they have a good road park. But you don't want to throw him at the Dodgers. It's one of those things you pick up this week and drop him next week. It's not get to hold him anyway.
Right.
One more on the call up younger guys I wanted to ask you about. AJ Alexi got called up by the Rangers. Pitched well in Double A and Triple A this year. He was mostly at Double A. He was 50 innings there, 3 starts at Triple A, and then got called up to the majors. A lot of walk issues here. As I look closer, like the walks are really, really high. He's got it down to like the 10% range this year. And when you're talking about down to 10%, that's obviously usually a problem. But 1.6 ERA in Double A, 1.84 in Triple A. This guy that he's got a little upside. Pitched well this week. He 5 innings, 1 hit, no earned runs, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. So pitched pretty well this week. Were you in on AJ Alexi? I think he pitches tomorrow against the Angels, actually.
Yeah, it's only one start because they have an off day and they're going through the 6 man. So he was like down on my list. He was there on the list, but I kind of was hoping I wouldn't get him. I mean, yeah, this Angels start probably isn't bad. Probably. I mean, Angels can still hurt you. But then next week, he has 2-step. Okay, yay, 2-step. Oh, Houston and the White Sox.
Like you can't throw that. I mean, unless you are have it, and there are people that have a gap in ERA ratio. Even if you're a gap at the top or a gap in the middle where you can't gain and lose, and you wins and K's are really close. You know, wins are probably gonna be tough against Houston and Chicago, but he could get a bunch of strikeouts. But yeah, that's if you're gonna drop an American League 2-step, that's a pretty Houston, Chicago's a pretty tough one.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to find anybody to use right now. I get it. So, but it's always Baltimore. You know, syncing up once again the My Leagues with projected starters. You can just see immediately who's available. It's Rangers, Baltimore, yay, Rockies, yay. Oh, and Dallas Keuchel's still out there too.
Boy, is he a mess. Oof.
He's awful. Just awful. Yeah. And there's no payoff. You know, he's got 8 wins, but he's got a 5+ ERA and no strikeouts. Yeah, oh, Chris Archer's hanging out there and Michael Wacha. Okay. You got first place Rays. Oh, yeah.
Wacha pitched well this week, and you just know that the 8 earned run outing is coming because it always does. I actually got lucky. I slid in Taylor Hearn this week, and he pitched really well against the Angels.
Yeah, I did.
You're talking about Rangers starters. He's pitching really well to get the two-run homer to Joe Adele, but still 7 mm-hmm. innings, 3 earned runs, got a win. I'll take that line every day, all day of the week right there.
Yeah.
And it's weird. You pick up a guy like, I need someone for this week, and he pitches well. You're like, well, I can't drop him now, so I have him. I don't know if I'm going to use him again this week. He faces the A's in Oakland. And they tend to have some guys that hit lefties, but you gotta love when you get a streamer, a guy you barely know anything about, do some research on Sunday, and all of a sudden he pitches well. It's always fun to find those because it feels like most of those go the other direction.
Right, right. When it's not the most talked about pickup of the week, but you were right. I think he's gonna be good, and you're actually right. Oh, it's nice.
Every once in a while, there's been plenty where I hit the other side of those, so it's nice to get one that worked out. Another guy that is really a 12-team guy to talk about is Aaron Civale. He's 70% owned in the NFBC 12-teamers, but he is coming back this week for the Cleveland baseball team. He may pitch twice, depending on how kind of they work their rotation. Logan Allen's going tomorrow, then Civale on Tuesday. They could skip Logan Allen, let Civale pitch on Sunday since they don't have a game on Monday, but kind of see how it works out. Faces Minnesota, then Milwaukee. Milwaukee starts is a little frightening based on the fact that they're really good. I don't know how much they're going to push Civale. You know, the White Sox are clearly going to win that division. He threw 71 pitches last rehab start. He's a guy that can get through innings fairly efficiently, doesn't walk a lot of guys. So, you know, he's someone that even on a limited pitch count could get through 5 for you.
Yeah, he could. He could. I was in on the bidding on him in some places. I think I got outbid, but it's just – I do worry about how deep he goes into the game. They have no reason, if there's any risk at all, any twinge in that finger, they're just like, okay, you're done.
But a guy who's pretty solid. I mean, he had a 3.3 ERA in 97 innings this year. So it's a guy that, not going to get a ton of strikeouts, but, good command, tends to avoid hard contact, a pretty solid pitcher coming back. Was there anybody else starting pitching wise, AL only, AL and only, any like gem names that you like in the starting pitching market this week?
Trying to look through,
It was hard after Ryan and Coar and Alexi. It was tough to find guys. I looked at the two-step pitchers, and there were so many guys. It's a couple of guys I've never heard of. There's some guys who are going to go, bullpen games or 2 or 3. It's hard to find guys who are actually going to make 2 starts this time of year.
Right. And, my last two-step went so well with Corey Kluber, too. So, yay. But Mitch White, were you in on him at all?
I was not. I was in on him a couple weeks ago, but I guess he's going to throw. He's scheduled to throw twice. Do you think he goes enough innings to work out? It's weird. He had that relief appearance 2 weeks ago. He threw 7 innings. So he's clearly stretched out enough.
He's capable.
He's capable. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And it's the Dodgers.
The Dodgers sure as heck need somebody to throw some innings, though. They're throwing a lot of bullpen innings right now.
Yeah. So are the Giants, by the way. That whole series was weird that way.
Giants went full bullpen start today.
Yeah. Here's one suggested. King Fantasy says Ober. No, he was over. He was gone in most of the leagues I'm in.
I like Bailey Ober, but the way they're talking about Monday, it sounds like he and Michael Pineda are going to piggyback. So I just didn't know if that meant Ober's going to throw like 3 or 4 innings. I just can't imagine he goes 5 and they piggyback. Usually it's a 3 or 4 thing. So I was a little worried that maybe that first start's going to be really short.
Yeah, the over-under on the number of innings is probably 4.
That's a good. I go 3.5, but that was you just wanted to get that in there. But second start would be against Kansas City.
Come on, it was good. It was contextual.
I liked it. It was very well woven in there.
Thank you.
I can't believe the Twins are going back to Randy Dobnak this week, who just can't get anybody out.
Yeah, seems like a good DFS opportunity.
I think there's a lot of teams that are really trying to get to October and go play golf.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let's jump into the relievers, but first a note from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. The summer is coming to an end, which means only 1 month until postseason baseball. There's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to watch your teams race towards the postseason. So grab your MLB tickets, maybe a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have a rewards program designed to provide real rewards for fans. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game to see your favorite performer or that new show everybody's talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Jeff Hamilton's coming back to the Pantages. Are you going?
You know, we originally had tickets for there, so probably, yeah.
I've had tickets three times now, and I've never gone, so I'm looking forward to it.
I was supposed to see Wilco, and I think they're coming back in October. I don't know if we can make it. I think we're both going to be out of town, though, that when they're going to be playing. So I got to check with my Ticketmaster account. I'm slacking there, but oops, I mentioned a competitor. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm glad you did that, not me.
But, you know, the thing is, that's where I was. And the thing is, they wouldn't refund me. So it's a negative endorsement for Ticketmaster. So there you go.
Well turned around there.
Yeah, I recovered just in time.
Whew. We did have some relievers that were available this week. We had Alex Reyes kind of temporarily, maybe more after today, lose the job. Mm-hmm. Although the guy who replaced him, Giovanni Gallegos, had a couple of saves this week and just did not pitch well today. He's the one that loaded all the bases, and then Daniel Vogelbach hit the home run off Alex Reyes. I think Gallegos is a really good pitcher. I've actually kind of rostered him on and off during the season when I've needed a ninth pitcher, maybe someone that can get some good innings, maybe steal a win. So I think Gallegos is really good, although today was not.
No, it's just enough just to punish everyone and said, yeah, I finally got my guy. All right, it's great. So.
Yeah, he was my favorite of the kind of semi-closers we have going on right now. I just I liked Rowan Wick too, who closed most of the week for the Cubs, and he had a two-inning save today. He was only 12% owned in 15 teamers, and most of that was because he was coming off an injury. They'd only been available for 1 week, but the way they used him this week sure as heck looked like he's kind of the closer for the last month here.
Probably so. I mean, he's good. He's a good pitcher.
I think he's a pretty good pitcher too, which kind of added me on him. I was like, you know what, I'm going to get him just because they're using him that way, and I think he's pretty good. So at least there's a little bit there if he kind of throws in different spots. I mean, at least I have faith that he can pitch pretty well.
Rowan Wick or Joe Barlow, who happened to be available in one of my two mains.
I'm going to go Rowan Wick.
Yeah, we went Barlow, so we'll see.
Yeah, he got a save. I saw Spencer Patton get the first save, and then Barlow off the DL or off the IL got the second save. So that's a good sign that he got it when he came off. Having two guys that close both named Barlow is confusing for me. I'm not capable of
doing that. Yeah, and one of my 12s both were available. That was fun.
Yeah, and I mean Scott Barlow's got a really
pitch.
Yeah, he's and we talked good. About the Royals schedule this week is nice too. They have seven games and against teams that they can beat. They're playing Baltimore and Minnesota, so you know it's nice to not be lined up against the White Sox and the Rays when you're looking for some saves. You can't fully quantify that, but you know if you're betting some odds there, the chances of them winning a few games this week are a lot higher.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you do anything with the wonderful Oakland A's situation? Lou Trevino is clearly not right. Sergio Romo gave up the home run to Marcus Semien and did not look good. I think Andrew Chafin is far and away the best pitcher in the bullpen right now, and I think he's going to find his way into some save ops.
You know, I have Chafin in Tout Wars. Start him this week. I've had him for a couple of weeks because you're just looking for anybody that can pitch.
Right.
So, I'd throw a shekel at Chafin and not
he's given up a run in one outing since he's got traded to the A's.
Yeah. I mean, the left-handedness thing works against him a little bit, you know, but Sergio Romo's just not the guy anymore. I just, when I saw him pitching ninth innings, it's like, really? Why?
He had been really good, but you put him in the ninth and those at bats are just a little bit different. Teams are just locked in. You just see him kind of nibble, can't get that third strike on guys. You just know it. And you just know it's going bad. If you watch baseball, you watch those games. I mean, I think I tweeted at some point, like it's just a matter of who hits a 3-run home run to end this game. And it was Semien, but you just knew it was coming. It was not a hard prediction to make. You knew hard hit stuff was coming at some point. It's just a matter of whether it cleared the wall or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he throws one pitch, like he can throw the changeup, but he goes to that slider every time. And if he hangs one, it's just not a good pitch. So I think Chafin is the guy. Just it's kind of with the Rowan Wick theory that I think he'll get some save offs, but I think he's a good pitcher. And at this time of year, you know, give me someone that with all the variance and usage, give me someone at least when he comes in, I feel can throw me a good inning.
Yeah, I'd agree.
What about last guy I want to ask you about closer wise, Carlos Estevez in Colorado. Has pretty much clearly taken over for Daniel Bard. Had a couple of saves this week. He was only 14% owned across the NFBC 12 teamers. Guy who throws hard, doesn't get a ton of strikeouts, but a decent strikeout rate. Was really bad last year, but you know, Coors Field does that to people. ERA is a little under 4 this year, but it seems like he's the guy right now.
It's always the guy you hope you don't win, but you have to put a bid in on him.
Yeah, that's about how I felt about it. He was kind of behind Gallegos and Wick for me, but I had some bids in on him anyway.
Yep.
Let's see. What about hitters? We kind of joked around a little bit earlier about Frank Schwindel, but I think he had 6 home runs this week, including the one today.
Crazy.
This is a guy that we talked about. I remember it was a cool story when the A's picked him up a few months ago. He hit a home run. He'd been in the minors for a long time. He's 29 years old. This dude is on fire right now.
He is. He is. So I got outbid on him in the Second Chance League that I'm sharing with Chris. Rob Silver's in. We're in the same league with Rob Silver. He won him, unfortunately. My issue, though, was, and why I didn't go like to the wall for him, is here are my corners. Max Muncy, Rafael Devers, and Austin Riley.
Yeah.
As much as I love Schwindel, I'm not benching those guys for
him. Do you have a utility?
Giancarlo Stanton is there.
He's also eligible now, right?
Is he? I didn't think he was. That would be my complete utter badness if that was the case. So
I'm pretty sure he's outfield eligible now.
You're right. 15 games in the outfield this year.
Every once in a while, I get one right.
I suck. I suck, dude.
Well, it's 12 teamer. You're probably pretty good outfielders too.
Yeah, I could have benched Tyler O'Neill or Brandon. I was using Marsh. I actually have one outfield spot I could use. So, yeah. Shame on me.
We obviously missed the greatest week of Frank Schwindel's life. There's no doubt about that. But
for sure,
playing every day, hitting middle of the order, granted, it's not a lineup that is really going to scare anybody. But I don't know. You got a guy that's playing every day and hitting middle of the order. I mean, that's somebody you should be interested in picking up kind of at any point, I would think, especially in a 15-teamer.
Yeah. Well, I went the speed alternative in the ultimate trap player instead. So
Leotis Tavares?
Yes, sir.
There's no S at the end. Leody Tavares. I always say Leotis because of Leotis Martin. But yep. Leonard Tavares is hitting leadoff almost every day. And it's funny. He came up and he went 0 for 16 right away. But then he hit a couple home runs. Everybody got excited. I think he stole a base. He's leading off kind of right there playing every day. I mean, that's value in itself. And if you need steals and, you know, Mondesi wasn't available or maybe a Jorge Mateo, I think that, you know, Tavares is playing time a little more locked in. The batting average spot is better. But Tavares feels like a guy to me that, in a deeper league, you're going to have to pick up and see I mean, he was a 10th, 11th round pick the start of the year. I mean, there's clearly some good stuff there.
Yeah, he's going to go 2 for like 27 this week. I'm sure of it. But
that is very much in the ballpark.
Yeah, but I was there for that, and you know, sure, why not? Well, why not take a chance? So there you go.
Yeah, and Jorge Mateo, I mentioned earlier, he's playing shortstop every day for the Orioles at the moment. So you know, just a guy that runs, is really fast. You're not going to get a lot of pop or offense out of him, but if you need steals. And, you know, 3 or 4 steals get you 3 or 4 points. There's a lot mm-hmm. to be said right there.
Yep.
Talk to you about a guy who's speaking of guy hitting leadoff. Lane Thomas is hitting leadoff for the Nationals right now every single day. And he's a guy that does have a little bit of a power speed combo guy. Came over from the Cardinals in their crowded bullpen, obviously, or crowded outfield. Anybody that leaves the Cardinals in the outfield, you know, you kind of want to sign on there because they usually have a lot of good stuff that happens after they leave there. But a guy that does have a little power speed, has got 2 home runs, 3 steals so far. Not great, but, you know, hit 10 and 11 in AAA in 2019. Hit 21 home runs with 13 bags in 2018 in AA. So has shown some pop and some speed. Playing every day and leading off and hitting the ball hard. 45% hard hit rate. I think he's an 8-game hitting streak. For those, he has a multi-hit game. So a guy that's just playing really well right now.
He is. If you like sort by playing time, like the last 14 days, he's always the guy with the most in all my leagues. He was the guy with the most at bats in the outfield. So, and I was looking for guys like that. I was looking for a little bit of help. And at the same time, I was like, yeah, but he's Lane Thomas. Like, so
right.
He wasn't my priority, but he was always on my list.
Someone in the Brad Johnson, the chant mentioned Yossi Tsutsugo, who is kind of showing a bit of a power spark here. Now he's on the Pirates and it's another guy, both him and Anthony Alford, hitting the ball really hard, playing every day. This is someone that we kind of liked a few years ago coming up with the Jays for his speed, but he's showing a little bit of pop. He's only got, he only has 81 plate appearances, but 47% hard hit rate, a 17% barrel so far. Like if you're talking about a guy who's maybe showing some power and he's 27 now. Maybe he's grown to his body a little bit, but he's hitting the ball hard right now.
Yeah, both he and Tsutsugo are. Tsutsugo, the only thing I get a little concerned about is playing time. Because he even when he was on his big roll, he didn't start on Thursday. He didn't start on Friday. The last 2 days he did start in Homer. So, okay, fine. Yeah. But it's just I have a hard time using a guy that is not playing every day.
Yeah. I mentioned Anthony Alford's hard hit rate. I have to mention his strikeout rate also. What do you think Andy Alford's strikeout rate is in 81 plate appearances?
Well, because he phrased it like that, I'm going to say it's like 45% or something like that.
That's a really good guess. 46.9. That is it's about as high as I can remember, even in a small sample size of anyone since we've been doing the show. 47%. It's like striking out half his plate appearances. That's pretty insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, swing hard, ball go far, but not doesn't make very much contact, I guess. And hitting 203, if you're desperate for homers, maybe that works, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Jesus Sanchez, we talked about, I think, last week, you know, still playing a lot. He's hitting, he's 26% rostered in 12-teamers. You know, a guy that has some prospect pedigree and playing every day. I think there's some value in that, too.
Yeah, there is. I like Sanchez a little bit. I picked him up last week in a league or two just because I needed the playing time in the outfield.
Do you like BJ Peters at all in Texas? It seems like another guy that swings hard, hits some home runs, but he's hitting a .182 to go along with his. He had two homers today, though, so he's up to 10 home runs, but a ton of strikeouts, bad batting average. I think he has to really fit your team dynamic to use him.
Yeah, I he was on my list, but down the list. I was like, really don't want to win this one, really.
Yeah, I felt the same way. If I was way up in batting average and needed some pop, maybe, but he'd have to really fit perfectly into a lineup.
Yeah. That's right.
Let's jump into some news and notes, but first a note from our sponsor, Yahoo Daily Fantasy Sports. The new NFL season is fast approaching, and Yahoo's excited to kick off daily fantasy football. Yahoo is also excited to announce that its platform will now be shark-free. To celebrate the opening of Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football and being shark-free, Yahoo's giving users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit to join Yahoo's Week 1 $1 Million Baller Contest. The $1 million baller contest features $200,000 in guaranteed prizing overlay. 25% of the players entered will be paid out, including first place receiving $100,000 and entry into the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship Live Finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer. Jeff, we don't have a ton of news and notes to go over. Just a few guys. You mentioned AJ Pollock earlier. It sounds like he's going to be done for most of the year. They said he's out several weeks. I think it was a grade 2 right hamstring strain. He's out on the 10-day IL, but fantasy-wise, he's a clear drop across any platform he played.
Unfortunately, and he was having a great year too, but he can't stay on the field. He and our next guy on our list, same thing.
Yeah, Brandon Nimmo, also with a right hamstring. He's on the 10-day IL, and his didn't sound quite as bad, but another one that I think with the guy level of player we're talking about, you know, good player, but not someone that's going to change a league for you. I think he's an automatic use the roster spot and get rid of him.
Yep. I think that's right.
We mentioned Jack Flaherty beginning a throwing program, at least a couple weeks off. I think he's a drop also. What do you do with Clayton Kershaw right now? He's making a 3-inning rehab start on Tuesday. It certainly sounds like the Dodgers are doing everything possible to bring him along slowly, but kind of ramp him, have him ready right for maybe that last week or so. It seems hard for me to see him really having a fantasy impact down the stretch.
Yeah, I cut him in yogurt a couple of weeks ago when he got snagged by the great proprietor of TGFBI, Justin Mason, who was on the podcast earlier this week. Check it out if you haven't seen it already.
You had a lot of guys on the podcast
this week. Yeah, it was good. It was a good time. It was a little bit different this time.
Four of you guys all in the same league? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I put it out. We had a DM group during the draft, so I said, put it out. Anybody wants to jump in? If you're still grinding the league, jump in. And it was fun. Yeah.
Justin Upton on the 10-day IL with a right lumbar strain. I think that really the key of this is that it really just makes it so Brandon Marsh and Joe Adell can fully play every day without any worries about it all.
Yeah.
Is Mike Trout still on that team?
I cut him in my AL only finally.
I cut him in Yahoo Friends and Family after seeing that most recent quote. I saw a graph, and I wish I remember who it was on Twitter, but is now the longest calf strain in baseball on the aisle in the last 10 years.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson's like, damn, dude, get back.
At least Josh Donaldson like came back a couple times, re-injured, and went back on. Like Trout hasn't even been close to that. I guess they're not in it, and there's just no reason to push him, but I'm kind of surprised that he didn't try and make a push to play this last month and get out there, but I don't know. I think we're going to see news of just shutting him down at some point here pretty quick.
I got to think that they're just in the what's the point mode. Yeah.
I mean, I guess the point would be for all your fans who have suffered all year and, you know, to see Ohtani and Trout play together would be fun. But you're right. I mean, in terms of like real baseball wise, there's no reason to push him and not get him fully healthy for next year. But that's a lost year for Trout. That's if you took Trout in the first round, that's hurt a lot.
It does.
Avisel Garcia, who, you know, every time when he ever plays, he seems to get hot and then gets injured again. He sat the weekend with both hamstring and back injuries. That's one to definitely watch starting tomorrow. Willy Adames on the Brewers, who has been really good for them. He went on the 10-day out with a strained left quad either, but it doesn't seem to matter for the Brewers. Seems like they win no matter what.
Yeah, did you see that walk-off by Vogelbach today?
Awesome. Euchre doing the call, and it was great. It was just a great moment. Vogelbach's out there. He's got, like, different costumes on for the post-game. It seems like they have. Like the Brewers have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought one of them, though, was, like, from his 4th of July game. That's what he, you know, they show that. Okay. Yeah, I thought that's what it was, but I could be wrong. But because I saw Christian Yelich's tweet that was going around, I think that one was from the 4th of July, but could be wrong.
If I told you that Christian Yelich is hitting 250 with 8 home runs, do you think the Brewers would have an 11-game lead in their division?
Right? I know. It's insane. Just insane.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to what our bets were, because you're clearly winning any kind of offensive bets. The K-rate bet is the only one that might be close. It's at 26%, but I think I'm losing that one too.
I think we said it like 23 or something like that. But
he has eight home runs, Jeff. 8.
I think we only did batting average and strikeout rate, though. So I think
there's no way 252 is winning the batting average bet.
No, I don't think so.
8 home runs.
Yeah, he's good for you that you didn't do a home run over under on that one, a prop bet on that, because
talk about the danger zone of the first round. Story, Yelich, Trout were like 8, 9, 10 right in there.
Yeah. Trout was going earlier in many of them too.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like there was like that set 6 or 7, then maybe Trout was like 6, 7, 8. And then those two guys were 8, 9, 10, 11, but like that middle range. Whew. And DeGrom was earlier than that, but he's obviously been out, but he was really good for her. Garrett Cole has definitely turned around. We had that spider tack stuff with him, but I think it's him and Robbie Ray for the Cy Young, which is exactly what we thought at the start of the year. Right.
Yeah. I spent some bandwidth on being wrong about Robbie Ray already. So let's move on.
Oh, that's okay. I have to go listen to that.
No, I brought it up a couple of times. It's just, I was never Robbie Ray, and I want guys to be settled and solved, and he's not. He wasn't.
I'm going to go back and look at that one and see if I missed something, but I just think it's one of those ones that he figured something out. There was really no way to predict it, really. I mean, it's great to see, and he's been awesome, and 4 straight starts with 10-plus strikeouts, first time in Jays history, but I don't know. It's hard to beat yourself up too much over that one. I'm gonna see if there's something I missed there before I kind of.
They were talking it up in spring training at the end of draft season. I was still like, I was a naysayer. Nay, I said.
They did the exact same thing last year, and then he was bad. So I was like, he had like had a different arm or like different placement of his hands or something. I remember last year, but
that's true.
Yordan Alvarez is day to day. He had a negative X-ray on his knee, so that's a good sign. But you hate to see anything with his knees after what he's gone through. So obviously, you want to make sure he's in the lineup. I think they were in San Diego this week where they were not going to risk him in the outfield unless he was 100%. So he gets back to back home tomorrow to face the Mariners. So I imagine he'll be in the lineup, but that's one you definitely want to check before you decide on that one.
Yeah.
Everybody's hero on Twitter, Connor Joe, went on the 10-day IL with a hamstring. I think you can safely drop him, even though he had a nice little spurt for people there. We mentioned Aaron Civale, but his teammates, Shane Bieber, set for a sim game on Tuesday. For some reason, I still have him in the yogurt league, mostly because I just haven't needed to drop anybody, and I'm bad, and I'm bad. It doesn't really matter, but I don't think we're ever gonna get anything out of him to be worth it either. It kind of feels like the kind of the Kershaw Flaherty kind of stuff we talked about.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't really know what Cleveland's doing, to be honest.
If you get 2 5 inning starts out of him at some point, like I'd probably pick that up, but I don't think I'd hold that for 2 more weeks. I think I'd rather have the roster spot.
I'd agree with that. All it takes is like a hangnail and they're done.
And I'd bet that I can, you know, maybe be in the bidding back to pick him up again. If I don't, it's 5 innings. I don't think he's going to kill you.
Yeah, agreed.
A couple of guys I wanted to ask you about before we do jump out of here. We're almost at the end here, but talking about 2022 a little bit, what does one do with Cedric Mullins? This is someone that I was not on to start the year. I did not see a ton. You know, you saw a little bit of speed, but I just didn't think he could hit like this at this level. You know, the hard hit rate was never really good. No pop. Jeff, he has 25 home runs after homering in today. He had a stolen base today too. So now he has 25 and 26. Not only that, he's hitting .305. This is an absurdly impressive season. He's a guy, a league winner. I was going to say, he's one of those guys, like, if you're looking at fantasy MVP, you can say where he was either drafted late or just picked up the first couple of weeks. I mean, he's been, you get 25-25 out of a guy you don't even have to draft. And that changes the league.
Yeah, it does. He's making more contact, and the quality of the contact's been better. I mean, is that something you're interested in? Yeah, of course. He's remember when we thought, oh, he's gonna be the on the bad side of a platoon or something. Yep. Like, no, no,
because he gave up pinch hitting, and clearly that's worked because he's not lost anything from not
which hitting.
Yeah, what did I say?
Pinch.
He's given up pinch hitting too, Jeff.
Well, he has. You were technically correct. Yes.
When you hit 305 and 25-25, you don't do much pinch hitting. But yes, switch hitting. Sorry. This guy's career barrel rate was under 3% heading in this year, and it's 8.1% this year. This is a different player. There's no way around it.
Yeah, you're right. The 1 year last year was the only year where he had a really bad strikeout rate. It wasn't even really bad. It was just worse at 24%. Yeah. It's 18.9, which is exactly what it was in 2019 and 2018. With more plate appearances. Give me it. And BABIP's high, but he's also a fast guy. Yeah. And he's making better barrel contact as you were suggesting. So BABIP is going to be higher in that instance.
Speaking of yogurt, you gotta give props to Justin Mason was like such yep. Mullen's biggest fan of the preseason. I made a joke on Twitter, mostly just poking fun at Justin. He said something about he's gonna lead off every day. I was like, well, great, that means you get 700 plate appearances of 205. And clearly that is not one that aged well. And I think I apologize to Justin on that one, like the middle of May. I took the loss on that one. And it's been nothing but downhill for that comment since. And it was mostly said in jest, just kind of joking around, but clearly I was a guy that I was way, way wrong on. I didn't even consider him. And you said league winger. It's hard for one baseball guy to win a league, but man, what a step up if you have this dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, because you get him like for nothing, and if you did reasonably well in your earlier ones, it's a huge windfall. So I'm going to put it to you though, Scott. Where do you take him next year?
That's a really, really good question. I probably will not buy in enough to get him, but you got to think he's like a fourth rounder next year.
Probably.
Third round felt a little high, but I just don't think he get past a guy that went 25-25. I don't think he gets that past the top 60.
The more I think about it, I bet he goes in the third round. I mean, look at how hard it is to get stolen bases still with anybody with any semblance of power to go with it. You know how crazy those guys get pushed up. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he drops to the fourth round. I might even take him at the end of the third.
Because it's funny because we talk about Starling Marte with his 42 stolen bases, he's gonna be way up there next year, but he's got 10 home runs. Like that's Mullins has 15 more home runs than he does. And the batting average is pretty close. Marte's a little bit higher, I think, because he's been on fire lately. But I mean, those guys are, 10 and 40 and 25-25. I don't know which one you'd rather have, but it's probably the 10-40 because you can get home runs elsewhere, but it's pretty darn close.
Yeah, it is. Although of course the trade-off of course is, the counting stats. I mean, it's 76 and 50 for Mullins.
75 and 41.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually better for Mullins. I thought that. Yeah. Never mind.
When
you make a point, you actually look ahead to make sure that the point makes any sense.
I would have thought Marte had more than 41 RBIs before if I said that too.
But holy crap!
I guess leading off for he was hitting second or third for Miami too, right?
Yeah. And I thought, okay, well, Marte is definitely going to have more runs. No, he isn't. No. Okay.
He runs every time he's on base, though. It's been fun. And that I don't know if you saw him get hit by a pitch on Friday night. That was
bad.
Scary. And it was crazy. Manoa almost hit Josh Harrison with one pitch and hit him with the next pitch. Josh Harrison was kind of pissed, like, dude, what's going on? And then hit Marte with the fastball with the next pitch. It was clearly not on purpose. Like, you could tell by Manoa's reaction that, like, he had no idea where the ball was going most of the night. But, like, Harrison was, like, almost a hit, then got hit. Everybody's mad, and the next pitch hits Marte in the head. It was a bad scene.
I will say this, and I – both Harrison and Marte have been hit by a lot of pitches in their career. This happened with Harrison and the Reds one time that he got all pissed.
Is he a lean over the plate kind of guy?
Yeah. 2017, he had 23 hit by pitches. This year he has 17. And then Marte has always been hit by pitches a lot too. So not that I saw the Manoa pitch. I saw it. It wasn't like that, but at the same time, Marte, 24, 17, 19, 16, 8, 8, 16, 9, 10, consistently getting hit by a lot of pitches. That's interesting
because I watch him. It doesn't seem like Mark Canna you watch and you realize why he gets hit a lot. He takes everything on his elbow pad and he leans way over. But
yep.
Marte must. I don't really notice him when I watch it, but he must. I mean, that was scary though. He got really, really lucky. He left the game pretty quickly after that and then missed Saturday, but he played today and looked fine. He hit a ball deep center. Randall Grichuk made a nice play on, but Yates caught a break there. Marte caught a break. I thought that was concussion protocol for sure when it happened.
Yeah. I mentioned this on Twitter. The other thing I want to mention too here, the warning rule in Major League Baseball rule or method by these umpires is ludicrous. It's terrible. The A's get plunked twice, including a guy getting beat in the head, and yet their bench gets warned as part of this.
I thought they decided not to warn him in that game.
I saw a tweet from Jay's beat writer saying both benches got warned.
I thought they did a good job because they didn't warn him, but he would know better than I would.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm in favor of retribution. I don't want that. But at the same time, you can't warn if it's sufficient enough to warn, you should just straight up eject him.
And they did a good job. Trevino hit Bo Bichette later in the game on a curveball. Obviously, but Lou Trevino has no idea where the ball is going. And for like a
split second, a curveball.
For a split second, Bichette was pissed. And then he's like, realized that that's a curveball. A, it didn't hurt, but everybody's booing him. But like, you could tell the umpires did a pretty good job there. Like, it was clear curveball. He clearly has no idea where the ball is going. He's not trying to hit anybody there. So it was, I think they did a pretty good job with not putting fuel in the fire with that one.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I didn't get to see that part of the game.
Later in the game, Harrison was joking around the guy. So I think he was kind of caught up in the moment. He was laughing with the crowd later on. So I think, by the way, I do, from having Josh Harrison on my favorite team, I really like Josh Harrison. He's like a really fun, good dude.
Yeah. He's a Cincinnati native too. That's the funny thing about having such problems with the Reds over that incident too.
What does one do next year with Zach Plesac? He did pitch well this week, had two wins this week, but he was obviously a super hot guy. Got talked about a lot on Twitter after his really, really good. He was a 2.28 ERA in 2020 in the short season. He's 4.5, I guess, after day 4.53 ERA. The strikeouts were never a big thing for him, but they are way, way down this year. He's a 16.9% strikeout guy right now. Still good with the walk rate, but What the heck does one do with kind of playing in how much do you weigh 2020, how much do you weigh 2021 and 2019? What do you do with Plesac next year? Because I think it's just I'm more leaning towards 2021 is kind of the real thing right now, and I'm not buying it again.
I would say 2019 is the real thing.
It's a pretty good way to put it, which was no strikeouts also.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Despite all of his struggles, he does have a pretty low whip. You know, he's not walking guys, only 24 walks going into today, at least. That probably went up with the Boston outing today, but
he had three walks. He's just over two walks per nine now.
Yeah, it was 1-1-3 going into today. I like guys, you like the guys that can help you in that category. That stat, I think, gets overlooked a lot when you're looking at your drafts.
Yeah, he was like 2.2 today, but I mean. The thing with him, though, is you look at you said it best. You look at 2019, you look at the strikeout rates about 18.5%. You look at this year, 60.9%. You look at 2020, 27.7%. So I just don't know if he, the Jeff Erickson he pitched against the Central stuff that you talked about a lot, which really worked well with not taking Plesac this year. I just don't know that strikeout rate just sticks out so much as an outlier last year compared when you take his 3 years.
Yeah, it worked pretty well with Kenta Maeda before he got hurt too. By the way, did not work for Adam Wainwright. I will say that.
Adam Wainwright is insane right now. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. It's just a great pitcher found a way. And you got to look at it as the expense, the depth of his career. He just figured something out.
But he had been legit like bad for four years in a row.
Yeah.
It's not like he was like hurt or like he was slowly, he was bad. Like what is that? 2016 to 2019, right in there. He was just, his ERA was over four all those years and significantly so in some of those years.
Yeah. And yet here he is, 2.91 ERA, 1.03 WHIP, 159 strikeouts. He's striking out more than ever.
Yeah, I mean, and you talk about a guy that eats innings. I mean, that's in a time where not very many guys eat innings. Like he's huge for that, and it adds to the strikeout. It's huge.
Yeah, it really is. I hate the Cardinals. Jenny. I think it was Jenny Butler had a tweet like, "Who's that player that?" Team you hate, but you still like. And she mentioned Adam Wainwright. And it's like, right down there. That's.
I think we talked about it before. I cheated and I said Tyler Lockett.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. That's right.
So I want to ask you one more guy that we'll get out of here. Bryce Harper has the third highest OPS in baseball. He's like 997 or something like that. That's before today. And he homered today. So he might be up there. I think Vlad and Otani were higher. 80 runs scored, 27 home runs after today. He's hitting 301. It's weird to me that this is like one of the most well-known hyped all time, like guy, players in baseball, like high school. He was on the front of Sports Illustrated.
Right.
And he's almost leading the baseball in OPS and nobody talks about him right now.
Cause his teammates have been so damn bad around him.
He has 63 RBIs. That's impossible for where he hits the lineup with how much he hits. It's crazy. He had that streak of solo home runs. Yep. It's just it's a weird, wild year, but a really, really good year too.
I mean, the Phillies are weird. They're just a weird team. I mean, they're a weird team. They're making this run. You know, they had a couple gut punch losses this week against Miami, and then they win in 10 today. And you're like, okay, they're not dead yet. And Harper has been amazing through this run too.
You want to know the craziest stat on Harper? With everybody's like, oh well, he doesn't have any RBIs because he's terrible with guys on base. He's hitting .327 with one on base.
Yeah, it's just the runners aren't there.
Yeah, and .286 with the bases empty. So it's not like he is hitting .180 with guys on base and choking or whatever you want to call it. He's in .306 with men in scoring position too. Like, it's almost he doesn't have any home run. He only has 2 home runs with men in scoring position. 20 of his home runs with bases empty, but this guy is hitting all over the place. It's wild. He has 63 RBIs.
Yeah, he's got 12 stolen bases too.
Yeah.
And he's been playing hurt at times. I mean,
what the
dude's a stud.
What's his ADP next year? Like 14? 16?
16, but falls because people are going to push up pitchers. There's going to be helium guys. He will not be a helium guy. He's going to be
we're going to have a new batch of pitchers moved up to. We're going to have Woodruff and Burns. And I guess you'll have Cole and Buehler and Grom if he's healthy, but you know. We got who the heck knows where Bauer is. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of turnover in that first two rounds of pitchers.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he's doing a lot of work there when it comes to DeGrom too.
Very, very, very true. He's going to be a very tough guy to figure out where to take. Because I mean, even if he looks good in spring training, there's so much kind of baggage there right now.
Yep.
But so good when he pitches. I mean, over the top good when he pitches.
Yeah.
It's just weird that Harper's gone from like the most hyped guy ever to a guy who's almost leading the league in OPS and nobody talks about it. It's just very strange how that works.
Yeah. He's having an MVP level season.
Yeah.
Won't get it, but
he's still 28 somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's year two of the contract and he's crushing.
Cool. Anybody else?
Year 3, actually. I'm sorry. I lied.
Last year kind of was really quick too. Second full year. Anybody else you want to talk about? Anything else in your mind baseball wise before we jump out of here for the night?
No, I think we've done enough damage.
Beautiful. So thanks everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. We appreciate you listening, watching, et cetera, all year long. You want to follow Jeff on Twitter, he's at Jeff_Erickson. I am at Scott Jenstead. Other than that, we will be at you same time, same place next week, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
It'll be the first weekend of football, huh? That's crazy.
I know. We'll have even more to decompress about.
Yeah, if the Niners somehow lose the Lions, you may not see me next week.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. You'll need the therapy.
I may be pouting somewhere, but anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for watching. We do appreciate that. If you could please rate or review the podcast, please do that. Also, other than that, be at you next Sunday. Good luck here in the final 4 weeks and make and run your league. Take care.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.